Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you're living your Cognitive Rampage. You have to believe in the power of you. Uncomfortable is where the change is. Have to be willing to question the impossible, or you're planning for the inevitable. Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you are living your Cognitive Rampage. We are brought to you by Vermont Pure CBD Full Spectrum Wellness Products. Now, if you listen to last podcast, Grant Jacobowski was on the podcast, the founder of that. So if you haven't heard that, I suggest you go back and listen to that podcast. It was Cognitive Rampage 220. He basically told you everything you need to know, and even then some, about CBD and Vermont Pure CBD Full Wellness Products Company. A beautiful company. We got deep into it. But just for the top for you now, look, they grow all their hemp on organic Vermont farmland. That matters. It certainly matters to me. They focus on high CBD and terpene-rich varieties that provide maximum healing benefits. They extract all hemp using high-tech alcohol extraction, not that dangerous butane stuff. They produce the highest quality full-spectrum CBD available. They control the entire process to ensure that they produce the best CBD products on the market. Now, full spectrum, just so you understand it, if you didn't listen to that podcast, means it still contains some THC, but not enough to where it's going to affect you psychoactively. But there are healing properties to the THC, okay? There's isolates that are out there, all right? But when they isolate it like that, it removes some healing properties, some CBN, CBG, some things, again, that you should go back and listen to the podcast with Grant Jacobowski on 220. Go back and listen to that. So the reason full spectrum is more healing is because they leave the full properties in it. They don't pull those things out, all right? So isolates can certainly be helpful, but they're not near as strong medically as a full spectrum product, okay? Especially the fact that it's organic. It's grown on organic farmland, to be specific, okay? So I use this product too. Again, I would not sell or endorse anything I have not used. Do not recommend at all. I wouldn't be doing that at all. So we got to try it out. It has done some wonderful things for me. I don't use it every day. But when I do, it works, whether it's a small ache or pain or something like that. And it's done wonders for psoriasis for myself as well. That runs in my family. It's a gene that's passed down, but, well, no more. So it's amazing the things that you can treat with CBD, especially a full spectrum. Just go to VermontPureCBD.com, enter the promo code Rampage, and you get 10% off. Okay, that's VermontPureCBD.com. Enter code word Rampage for 10% off. Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you are living your Cognitive Rampage. That sound you're going to hear in the background, well, is a race car. Here they come now. One more. All right, well, I run a marketing. There they go by. I run a marketing agency as well called the Residuals Group. You can find that on my website, adamlowry.com, ADAMLOWERY/marketing. And, well, we've acquired NASCAR as a client, and I am out at the races. I host a couple races. Yeah, letting it go by for you. I host a couple of races before. I've done some announcing, but I also host a couple shows for them as well. So I am, well, at the NASCAR track today, and I'm sitting outside. So I wanted to get this podcast out there because it's been a while. We recorded it about a week ago, Laura and I. And, well, I wanted to do this now. So I had some time, and I'm, well, posting it now. But I wanted to preface this podcast, well, because it's about vaccines. And as this race car goes by, I'll let you think about that. I want you to listen to Laura with an open mind, okay? I want you to listen to the statistics that she drops. Now, mind you, these numbers are coming from the CDC. This is a government-funded website. That's where she's getting these numbers. If your first reaction when you hear something that's anti-vaccine or something, well, is to call them a conspiracy theorist, or, well, a bunch of other choice names. And, well, I'd ask you to question that and just open your mind for a second, all right? I typically say that if your first response to something is, oh, no, no, or oh, yes, yes, well, start there. Because, well, in my opinion, one is not fully competent unless you can argue both sides of the story. And look, Laura's brave for stepping out there with her opinion and her research and thoughts about this. And, well, she puts it on the table. So you'll hear me in this podcast saying, oh, my God, wow, whoa, because, well, they're staggering. These statistics are staggering, okay? So, look, again, it's from the CDC website and all. Look, I'm not a smart guy. I'm a dummy. So for me, I don't know enough about the research yet to make up my mind. Well, this is why I had Laura on to argue her side of this as well. And she certainly delivered her cognitive rampage. And the research and numbers, well, they're scary, okay? And when we think about vaccines and things like that, right, well, there can be some serious side choosing. But open your mind, listen to Laura talk about her statistics, experience, and research and where it comes from, and do your own research as I'm doing now. So just because I have her on the show doesn't mean that I'm a full supporter of anti-vaccines, okay? It just doesn't. But I'm grateful for her research and her bravery to be able to step out there and, well, talk about it, because it's worth at least talking about, especially when it concerns our children as well. She makes some interesting points, some good points, and some numbers to back some of those points up. So listen with an open mind here, okay, and enjoy our guest as I sit here live with NASCAR before I go on a live show with them. Enjoy our guest, Laura Mall. And we are live. Welcome to Cognitive Rampage Podcast. Hope you're taking care of you. Hope you are living your cognitive rampage. There's certainly going to be a cognitive rampage delivered on today's podcast. I promise you that. Welcome to the show, Laura Mall.
Hi.
Hi. Welcome. vaccine safety activist and plant-based supporter.
Mm-hmm.
Go on.
Okay. So, well, I guess I just will share my story and how I got here. And
yeah, that's kind of how I want to start before we get into all the that stuff, right?
Yeah.
I was interested on well, why you became an activist, what happened, and, you know, something usually leads into it, you know, that mm-hmm. that kicks a fire off in somebody. So I'm all ears.
Okay. So I had started, this kind of started back in college. I went to school to be a teacher. And during schooling, we learned a lot about, like, catering to children's needs and emotional development and teaching to each individual child and that kind of thing. And so I was super excited about it. And then I started teaching and I realized that it's so much different in the school system. Once you get into it, it's more of a memorize and repeat type thing. So we teach children about things that don't necessarily or aren't necessarily true, like Columbus, the Pilgrims, all of that stuff. And it's more memorize and repeat, memorize and repeat.
That's funny to say that. I did a podcast on Thanksgiving where I did the the real history of Thanksgiving and how that came to be.
Yeah, isn't that crazy that we're still teaching kids that? Like, my daughter's in kindergarten, and she's coming home telling me these stories, and I'm like, that's not even what happened. Why are they still teaching this junk?
Yeah, I took it personal being part Native American to where, you know, I didn't want to hate on Thanksgiving. Like, anything that gets the family to the table, you know, I'll support that. Mm-hmm. But telling kids that, you know, it was kumbaya and everyone walked around like, hey, hi, peaceful people. We can all hang out as much less as it really was. And I'll take Lincoln's approach. I mean, he tried to bring people together after the Civil War, but it came more of a PR stunt, really, to try to get people, you know, back together, you know, whatever brings you to the table, I guess. But yeah, I'm with you about teaching the history of certain things.
Mm-hmm. And just everything. So like school lunches are just absolutely horrible. And just all around, it felt so different than what I had imagined and envisioned to be my dream and my career.
Man, so, we have a similar story there, man. I mean, I was a mental health counselor for a long time and got into that. And as I walked in, I'm going, wait, we're killing people. We're supposed to be offering help, but we're just giving them pill after pill. We're killing. And I freaked out, man. And I was like, I can't, you know, became an activist. I wound up on Rogan's podcast and outed everybody and was fired from both of my therapist positions before I even left LA after that. And so I'm going, okay, that's how we want to play it. I'm going to turn up the heat then and came full bore. So real similar to what you're talking about.
Yeah. Yeah. So I just felt like it was turning into like a government slave system, almost like we were teaching our children memorize and repeat. And this is what we want you to be, little robots. We're not catering to the children's needs. We're not making them individuals. We're lining them all up in an assembly line and making them all the exact same and memorize the exact same things and not doing anything that interests them. And it was just really sad. So I think that was the critical turning point in my life where I started to question things. I started to question the school system and everything else, but it made me realize that I had really been blind my whole life to thinking that everything was just perfectly happy. And it really opened my eyes to everything.
It's scary when that happens, right? It's scary when you first kind of go, oh God. And then it starts with one thing, then another. Then you're like, all right, all these conspiracies, but wait, these aren't conspiracies. Mm-hmm. This is too far. Then you can't sleep at night. Then you're going, Jesus, does anybody know what's happening here?
Exactly. Yep. And things are scary. Like when I first started looking into things, I was like, okay, I can't even look into that. I can't even think about that being real, even though it is. It's like our mind is so trained and we are such slaves in our minds that, and all of the brainwashing that happens our entire life, that we can't even think that things are real. It's too much for us to handle.
Yeah, that cognitive dissonance you're talking about. There's a study I brought up a few times on the podcast here where they knew an area was going to flood from the Mississippi River and told people up to 10 miles, hey, this is going to happen. And everyone left from mile 6 out. And the closer you got to the river, less and less people left. And the closest a mile and even closer to the river, some stayed and died. They can't process the idea, you know, that cognitive dissonance that this just can't be. And it's so blocked out of our minds, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. So I started opening my mind to it. And just really, once I started looking around at different things, I mean, this was everything like food and the school system and the government and just everything. I just started opening and exploring things. And I was just like horrified. So then it brings me to the story of during this time of awakening, I was also going through a divorce and I was deeply depressed. And it was a very hard time in my life. I felt very alone. And so I went to the doctor and of course they were like, here's some pills. You're fine. Like just take these medications. And what I really needed at that time was probably some therapy, probably someone to just talk to, just some, you know, something other than medication, but that's what they go to is here's your medication and be quiet about it.
Yeah, sorry to jump in. Divorce, as you spoke of, it's another one of those social constructs. I, too, went through a divorce, and I've questioned a lot of it on how much of the social constructs and the beliefs that are taught down to you about if that happens, you know, the family's over or you didn't live up to something. And I've went deep down that rabbit hole of the construct of marriage itself. And then, you know, I watch how many people either divorce afterwards and they fall into this sickness, this depression sickness, if you will. And you kind of go, well, what's more worse, the cognitive, the social construct that creates the pain from losing that, right? Or the actual pain of losing? It's amazing. I think divorce hits a lot of people right square in that cognitive dissonance where they go, I couldn't believe that would happen. And it's wild, man. And then you talk about the treatment. I mean, that's kind of why I stepped away. I was just going, they're coming here for, you know, drug addiction, and then they leave on 12 more pills than they were on before they got here. And I'm like, there's so much more we can do other than that, you know. And just to preface, you know, I'm not anti-pill, right? Because I'm really pro whatever works for you, you know, because there's the outlying variables where antidepressants and things work, you know, if done properly, titrated, right, worked right, you know. But, you know, I don't want to out that, but but that was it. And I'm going, what you mean this is it? We have so much more we could offer other than, you know, this direct pill approach, man.
Yeah, and I don't feel like necessarily anyone or necessarily everyone needs that. I certainly don't think that I actually needed that. I think that I just needed probably some therapy and to talk over some of this. Because like you said, it wasn't so much of the marriage ending. It was more of all of the bad coming around that. I grew up in a super Catholic family. And so it was more of everyone else's judgments of that. That was very hard for me.
Yeah, I get that. I've argued also to skip forward to talking about seeing a physician, and you know, they talk to you for 7 or less minutes and prescribe you a pill that may make you want to kill yourself. I have argued that A, they should be arrested because they're practicing outside of their scope. I argued if I went and do surgery on somebody, I'm going to prison. And most physicians, they don't have psych classes. They're not psychiatrists for one. And most of them don't even have nutrition classes. You know, some of the newer doctors coming out, they do a class or two. But for the most part, you have nothing to do with psychology. But yet, after 7 minutes, patient self-report, no official diagnosis, you're throwing out an antidepressant like it's an M&M.
Yep, yep. So I had a similar thing happen. So I was super depressed, and I actually got super, super sick. Still to this day, we don't really know what it was. I was just very sick. I lost a ton of weight. It was probably from stress, but they did a ton of tests on me. And this was when I was going through all of that with the divorce, and they couldn't figure out what was wrong with me. But every time I went back to the doctor, he was always like, "Do you want your flu shot today?" And here I am, like, I can barely be alive. And he's offering me a flu shot, which I've always been against flu shots. I haven't always been against vaccines, but the flu shot always, I knew it was not a good thing, and it makes people sick. And
I don't do it. I haven't touched it. I rarely get sick, if at all. I had a little bout, but that's after I hung out with my little niece. Those are little bacteria carrot killers, those little kids, man. And after my niece, I got sick, but I've been sick in years, 3-4 years. And, you know, until people look into the flu shot and they go, how accurate are they really, when they're missing the mark and it's somewhere of accuracy of 20-30% to actually hit the actual flu that's out, you're going, whoa, wait a minute. Why am I going to put that in my body, man?
Yeah. And then the flu, I mean, for a healthy person is not very dangerous to get. So, I mean, you're sick for a little bit, but if you don't have the flu shot, you're going to get over it quicker. So anyways, back to that.
Well, there's a whole hellstorm coming on you. I mean, from psychiatric medication, social constructs of divorce, flu shots being stuck in you at the same time, or pressure to be. I mean, you're feeling ill all at the same time. And plus you're awakening all at the same time. Wow. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this was just a crazy point in my life. So they kept pushing that flu shot, and I felt like I needed to have some proof and something to back it up of, why are you offering a flu shot to somebody that's already sick? Because you're not supposed to get vaccines when you're sick, and you guys can't even figure out what's wrong with me. I mean, this could be something really serious, and you're still pushing me to get this flu shot. So I started looking into the flu shot a little bit. And then meanwhile, this probably a couple weeks later, I had a friend whose child was actually vaccine injured pretty bad. And his son was having seizures after his 12-month shots. And so he was telling me about this, and it really, something just clicked with me. Like, I need to look more into this, because I've been looking into the flu shot, but I feel like I should branch off and look into the other vaccines too. At this time, I had one child, and she was vaccinated, and she was fine, but I felt like I needed to look more into it, because I never questioned it. And so I started looking into it. And the more I got into it, the more stories I read, the more people I met of vaccine injured parents and their children, and not just injured children, dead children. And my mind was like exploding, like with rage, because I was so mad at myself for never even questioning this and putting all of those things into my child that I just didn't know. I mean, it would be one thing if it was all wrong, but I never even questioned it. So I was just mad at myself for not questioning it. So
you point that out. Isn't it amazing how we'll question whether our daughter or son can go hang out at that sleepover party, and we want to meet the parents, right? You want to go to the house, you want to check it all out, see if Johnny's really okay, right? We do our due diligence there, but if the guy or the girl in the white coat tells you, hey, do this, just the thought of not even for a second, do you go, well, maybe, you know what I mean? Let me just interview that for a minute, man. And I ask anybody listening to this podcast, watching live or listening later on iTunes, as I've mentioned, and even in my book, is if your first response to something is a concrete no, or even a concrete yes, that is a great place to start to begin to question why you believe what you believe and to go down that path. But keep going, Laura.
Yeah. So, and the same thing goes for like car seats and stuff. I mean, like I rear faced my kid until she was four. Like I went above and beyond for every single safety thing, but I never thought to question vaccines ever. So the more I got into that, I realized just how brainwashed we all are into thinking, and not questioning vaccines at all. Just right from the jump. I mean, kids are given books with like doctor books about going to the doctor and getting your shots, and all of their little TV shows have, you know, the animals getting shots. My daughter had a game on her little tablet that was like, give the pony a shot to make him healthy. Just all of these.
Whoa.
Yeah. Just all of these little things that we don't really pick up on until once I began like awakening to vaccines. I started looking around and I'm like,
what's a kid got to know about they could argue, right? We're trying to make them less afraid of needles, I guess. But the point is like, well, why does a 4-year old got to give a donkey a shot or a pony?
Yeah.
That's creepy.
Yeah. So just the propaganda everywhere. Turn on the news right now. They've got this whole measles thing going around and it's blowing up, like 34 cases of measles. You're all going to die if you don't get the measles shot. And then we look and we think like there's 318 million people in the US and we're highlighting 34 people that are getting a fever and a rash and there's no deaths all over the news to try to push an agenda. So that's really where
31 people. Hey, look, sad for those lives, seriously. But when you look on that big scale, but you know, forget about the 60,000 that died of opiate overdoses and then the additional 30,000 with combined fentanyl and opiate overdoses, you're near 100,000 people just last year. Perhaps a state of emergency. Maybe we could say something.
Yeah. Well, in the 34, or maybe it's 31, I don't know the exact count now, but they didn't even die. Like there's been 10 measles deaths in the last 10 years in the US. So
we're just, you know, I can hear the other people. Well, where are you finding this information?
So this can be found on VAERS. It's VAERS. And that is a vaccine injury site, a government run site, or the CDC, cdc.com. So you can find all of that information on those websites too.
You know, you face it every day. So you got to click. Like, she's just reading.
Throw up a link.
Yeah. She's just pulling those diagnoses. So it's true. Cause I came across that same article and it posts, you know, deadly outbreak in the UK, I think it was, and all over the place. And people have arguments about this and that, but seriously, 10 deaths in 10 years.
Yeah. You can look all of this up on the CDC website or just anywhere online to find the death rates of, and that's in the US. There's obviously been other deaths in other countries. They like to use worldwide deaths. That's another brainwashing tactic that they put on the news. So they'll say like, this is how many deaths there's been in the last year for measles, but they're counting deaths from like Africa and places that don't have running water or sanitation, those children are dying from colds because they're malnourished. So you can't really compare.
Well, yeah, we'd have to bring in the starvation statistics as well then, and maybe we could approach something if we're going to include all of that. I mean, yeah, because sanitation and these things have a big, big deal with, you know, measles themselves, but other diseases.
Yeah, exactly. So I started looking more into it and the history of vaccines and when they came about. And I actually started realizing that a lot of these diseases were almost gone pre-vaccine being made. If you look at the history of when it was made, and then you look at the history of the disease, actually the disease rates go on all of the diseases go pretty much down to nothing around the time when we, you know, became more industrialized as a country with clean water and sanitation and all of that stuff.
Imagine that logic applied to something. And yeah. So really, can you cover some of that history? I know you're deep into it. I mean, can you, if it's off the top of your head or something, but.
So I don't have exact years off the top of my head, but for example, like the measles deaths were under 1% pre-vaccine. So if you got the measles, under 1% of people died pre-vaccine. And you can also find this on the CDC's website too. You can go through and actually look and dig through that website and find like how many deaths there were and when the vaccine was made and all of that. And there's some great books and charts and stuff on all of that too that I've looked at. But yeah, crazy.
So you go before vaccines, you have a 1% chance of dying from measles. And then now, I remember I was watching your video there, and so this shrinks dramatically your chances after the industrial age, clean water, certain things that also get applied to us, and then it gets down even further, right?
Yeah, so your chances of getting measles now is very, very slim, and a lot of people say that, you know, that's credited to the vaccine, but when you go back and look at the history, it's actually not. It's more credited to just being industrialized as a whole. And so the vaccine rates of death are actually a lot higher than the rate of death from just getting the measles naturally. So that's how I got into this, is because I started looking into all of that and seeing like, yes, we might have a chance of getting the measles if we don't vaccinate, but if we do vaccinate, our chance of death is actually a lot higher.
Man, I can already hear people listening to Justin. Either someone's already thrown something at the computer.
I know. It's a really, really hard topic. I think a lot of people are scared to look into it. A lot of people tell me that I don't know what I'm talking about because I'm not a doctor. The thing is that it doesn't take a doctor to look over the evidence. It doesn't take a doctor to read statistics. You don't have to be a doctor to see any of this stuff. You don't have to be a doctor to see that there's more deaths. And so
I think a lot of that too is a cognitive dissonance, kind of a cop out, right? And it's scary to me, even when I was on the mental health side, how many people I've talked to that simply say, well, my doctor gave me the Klonopin that I mixed with my Xanax, that I mixed with my Zoloft. And I'm like, well, okay then. I mean, he gave you that. So, you know what? It must be right. But I like the point you talked about at the beginning of your story, though, is we'll question people like yourself or any other activist, or even, you know, going to Johnny's house for a sleepover. But we won't question for a second. Just let me look at it for a second. You know, a lot of parents use, hey, this protects your child, protects every other child, right, from doing all these things. And you kind of want to go, okay, and because why? You heard what stats show me? Well, my doctor said so.
Yeah, and it's never questioned. Doctors actually don't go over this. For the people that are questioning this, when you go to get your kid vaccinated, they spend about 5 minutes with you, if that. And they usually don't answer very many questions. They just say it's safe. I give it to my kid. And and you're fine. They don't actually give you a vaccine insert. So they'll give you a little sheet of paper that says your kid might get a fever. Give them, you know, Tylenol or whatever. This is what you should watch for, a rash or whatever. And then, they send you on your way. They don't ever give you the actual insert that goes over and shows that your kid can die or, get encephalitis or any of the other horrible things that are possible. And they don't tell you the ingredients of this.
No,
that's okay. I've spoken to a lot of parents who thought that literally vaccines were just the virus and they didn't even realize how much more is in the vaccine.
Yeah, I mean, we'll read the nutrition label, right? We'll ease up on the sodas and sugars, but we won't ask, hey, what exactly is in that shot, doc?
Yep, yep. So, and then that brings us to like, so people want to trust their doctors. Doctors know best, but I feel like we need to question everything. In history, we've always questioned. That's how medical science evolves, is by questioning things. We used to, for example, doctors used to not wash their hands after childbirth. We used to not know anything about different blood types. Like, it's always evolving. So we need to be always questioning these things. It's not wrong for people to question them. And I think what people don't understand is there is a lot of doctors and scientists who speak out about vaccines. My personal pediatrician has 18 years of experience, and he is absolutely phenomenal, very smart, and he is anti-vaccine. So there are a lot of doctors and scientists on our side. It's not all doctors are saying this is what you should do.
Well, that's the nature of science, right? Is the scientific model, is the question, test, repeat, right? And can we duplicate and repeat those things? And without questioning what we just believe is concrete science, we get no advancement whatsoever.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So then another thing that I was mind blown about is, did you know that in 1986, they actually made a law shielding vaccine manufacturers from being sued for vaccine injuries? So they have absolutely no liability.
Shit. No, I didn't know that. It's like the ag gag law, the same idea.
So they were actually being sued so much that they were going to go out, they were going out of business, and they couldn't stay in it, and they couldn't keep up with making vaccines because they were injuring so many children, that the president decided, okay, we'll make a law shielding you from being sued. So if your child gets injured or killed by a vaccine, you can't even sue the manufacturer.
Holy shit. You should be able to at least sue the doctor. So you know what? Too many people are dying over this. So let's just shut the curtain on any of the research that's coming out or what people could see. This is terrifying.
Yeah. So they actually made a vaccine injury court. And now people are paid out in this. They have to have a ton of proof. Only about, it's less than 1% of vaccine injury cases actually get to go to this court. And you have to prove everything from top to bottom. And the sad thing is that if your child dies from vaccines, you might not know it at first. And autopsy reports actually don't check for anything vaccine related. So that's another really sad thing. But you have to know exactly what to ask for in your autopsy. And any normal parent is not going to think of that when their child is getting their autopsy. But you have to have all of that to go to this court and have proof. And then the max payout at this court is $250,000 if your child was killed by a vaccine. And a lot of parents don't even get that full payout amount.
Yeah. I mean, even if it was $250 million, doesn't bring your kid back.
Yet. Right. Yeah. But just that little tiny amount is just sad.
Well, the fact they have a special court just for it, what's up with just the regular Supreme Court of America, the regular due process that were allowed in a wrongful death suit, but instead there's some special court tribunal you got to go to.
Yep. So they have that. And actually that is funded by us. So the payouts for that are actually funded by every single vaccine that you give to your kid has a tax put on it. And then that goes to fund the vaccine Yeah, the vaccine injury court. How sad is that?
Whoa, we're taxing that we need more vaccines because we got to fill up the bank account to pay out the wrongful deaths to come out of this.
Mm-hmm.
Holy shit. My God. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. It's hard because, you know, I have a stepdaughter, right? But it was beyond the time. So I think about if I had a kid, what my first response is, it's funny. I see my own cognitive dissonance. Oh, of course you get the shot. This is what you have to do. It's medical science. We've advanced even in my own mind. You know, I think about if I had it, you know, if I had a baby, what would I be doing that? Would I go there and do it? And I can see why a lot of parents, the first response that have had their kids vaccinated would be this angry response. Really based out of fear that, hey, did I make a mistake as a parent, right? We all make mistakes, you know, and we all screw up, but I can see why the vengeance that would come out of it and the cognitive dissonance is so strong is it may mean that you accidentally added your kid to getting sick.
Yep. And it's scary for a lot of parents, especially if their kids are experiencing symptoms of, you know, their kid has seizures now or developmental delays or any of that stuff, to know that you could have possibly prevented that is very scary for parents. And a lot of them don't want to admit that. It's too hard to think of that.
Yeah. When I first came out, I was pretty angry at the people that were dealing with addiction. I treated them directly, and I would see that, you know, 7 out of 10 really didn't want to get better anyway. You know, they kind of played the system really. It was in favor for the majorities, the practitioners, the owners, as well as the patients. And then the further I got into it, I kind of want to say I backed out going, wait a minute, it's not the patient. Sometimes they are there, but they're wrapped up in a neurological disorder at the same time. It's the system that they have fallen into. That they've been taken advantage by. So for me, I would feel more poorly for the parents that were looped into the system, right? As opposed to them making a bad choice or a bad decision. It's more or less the system that really that's warped you into those decisions. Mainly, you know, to try to pull some of the guilt off of those parents, you know, of saying if it is or if it isn't, right? Pull some of that off.
Yeah, I would say that a majority of the people that I've come across in this movement and made friends with are all parents of vaccine injured children. So it's probably like a 90-10%. 90% of the parents in the movement have a vaccine injured child, which is really sad. But that's just, like you said, we're just so, this is what you're supposed to do. And that's what we follow because that's, you know, that's what we've done. And people don't even realize, like, I thought, you know, I was vaccinated. My siblings were vaccinated. Everyone I know was vaccinated. I've never came across anyone before that didn't. And so why would I not? But once we start looking into it, we see like, well, actually, when I look at my shot records, I only had 11 doses, and now our kids are getting 72 doses before the age of 18.
What the fuck? Seven? I think I had like six. Now, yeah. I'm 1981, right? So before the Reformation. But 72?
72 doses before the age of 18. And that counts the flu shots, too. So some people don't do the flu shots, but still, yeah.
That is a lot of drugs to be putting in a tiny little infant baby or even a small little adolescent child where, shoot, the wrong couple little things can make them sick and put them down. But yet we take these reformed diseases, put them in a needle and stick them in them.
Yeah. Even on the very first day of life, your baby's getting two shots. So one is a hepatitis B shot, which we know is primarily caused by sexual activity or sharing drug needles and
put a needle in them. So let's put a needle in them.
Yeah. And we know that the hepatitis B shot doesn't last very long. Most vaccines actually only last 4 to 10 years and on average, and some of them are up to 20 years. But by the time your child is sexually active or sharing drug needles, that vaccine will have long worn off. So for the majority of children, they are not at risk for hepatitis B, and there's no reason that we need to be injecting our brand new 3-hour-old baby with hepatitis B.
And there's a ton of research. I want to remember the gentleman's name. Maybe I'll go back and I'll add it to the intro of the podcast because I certainly can't. They were doing a ton of research of the traumatic event of birth itself in the first few years of development in a child. And they went as far as being able to, if a child is being born, is in the womb, and the parents, if you will, are fighting and arguing, and this is a constant thing, be the father is yelling mainly, was part of the study, that the baby is born with a direct fear of the father's voice.
Oh.
Directly,
yeah.
Because the mother feels the fear, and that's passed down into the womb in the child, and then is born with a direct fear of the father. And so after, so just assume if we know something about that, welcome to the world in 3 hours. And now I'm going to stick this. I mean, when you take a baby's arm and then right now I'm going to stick you with this pinching thing that comes out. I don't know how traumatic is that. We'll never be able to study that, I don't think. But what is the trauma related incidence of doing something like that?
Right. Yep. And then we have the vitamin K shot, which isn't a vaccine, but we give that to every single newborn baby on the first day of life because it is believed that they are lacking in vitamin K. And we actually know that the baby doesn't make its own vitamin K until day 8. But if you do delayed cord clamping, your baby gets enough vitamin K to be fine until day 8. And so there's all of these things that come into play of if we do things how we're supposed to do things versus making them fast and quick and easy. Like the delayed cord clamping used to be a thing that was normal and common, and then doctors wanted to get out of there very quickly. So it was cut the cord as soon as we can, and we'll just give them a vaccine or a shot to make it okay.
And vitamin K is really what I was looking up, is more of a blood clotting supplement that we would use for adults to thin out the blood, regulate blood calcium levels, and bone metabolism.
Yep. So they give this to babies because until day 8 of life, they don't make their own vitamin K. And so there is a very, very, very small chance of a brain bleed or something like that happening. And instead of giving it to high risk babies who they used to just give vitamin K shots to babies who had a very rough delivery, if they were suctioned or vacuumed or whatever, they would give it to these babies because their chance of having a brain bleed could be higher. But now it's given to every single baby across the board, even if they had a perfectly wonderful delivery with absolutely nothing wrong with them, they are given this. And interestingly enough, I never knew this either, but until I started researching vaccines, vitamin K actually has a black box warning, which means that it's like the highest FDA warning on a medication, which means that it has risk for death.
Yeah.
Serious complications or death.
That's what I just looked up. Flushing, dizziness, profuse sweating, low blood pressure, hypertension, shortness of breath. The list is rather long for some of the things. It sounds like something you give somebody that's having a heart issue or something later as you get older or having blood flow issues of some kind, or not a infant. My God. For me, it's kind of like, well, it worked for the ones that were risky births that were kind of dying. So you know what? Let's just blanket this and do it to everybody.
Yep. And it's a profit thing. I mean, that's what I've discovered in all of this. Everything is just for profit. They just come up with more and more and more vaccines, and vaccines are very profitable, and it just keeps going. And they didn't used to have this even when we were born. We didn't get these vaccines, but now all of our children get these. And
well, the fact that medical is linked to a profit creating business is shit by itself.
Mm-hmm.
I mean that I go get treatment, but it's a for profit business, right? I can hear them going, hey, that's America, man. It's for profit. That's what we do. Capitalism rules. But if we're talking about the treatment of someone, what is my benefit to cure anyone or treat them or under treat them when I can upsell them anyway? I'm going to squirrel off on a side note here because I have a serious issue with dentists. I really do. I want to do a documentary on him. I swear to God, I do. You roll in for a cleaning, and then it's like you're there to get your oil changed in your car. Well, we can replace your oxygen sensor. We can do this. There's a deep cleaning for $250 we can do. You're walking out of there, and they're going $2,000 and six appointments later. I'm like, dude, I just wanted a $60 cleaning. What the hell, man? I had a dentist 2 weeks ago offer me a treatment in quotes, which is not even a known treatment. It kind of made the shit up because I went to another dentist and another one, and they're like, we don't even do that. And I'm like, what the, who is regulating this shit? And when it's for profit on a medical end, I mean, you can pick one, cancer, addiction, pick anything like that. What are the benefits of, well, shortening my client's reach? You know what I mean? Well, why do I want to make you better?
Yep. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. And that's vaccines too. I mean, this is, people call me a conspiracy theorist for this, but we're giving vaccines because it keeps our children sick for the rest of their lives, and they will be a pharmaceutical customer forever. And that's just what it breaks down to.
Two people just passed out. Another one is looking at the computer right now going, you can, I mean, right, but here's the tag, right? If you question anything like that, there's no gray area, right? Now we're just conspiracy theorists, leftists far the way over here that are just stupid people that don't know anything, right? And they're now we're just there. Where's the middle? Where's that middle gray area of like, hey, well, fucking maybe. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's just they throw that tag out on you so quickly.
Mm-hmm. Yep. And then it's just don't question anything. I actually was at the doctor the other day just for a regular checkup, and she's friends with my mom. She knows my mom, and we were chatting, and she offered me a flu shot. And of course I said no. And she is like, does your mom know you don't get a flu shot? Cause my mom is in healthcare. And I said, yeah, she does. And she knows I'm anti-vaccine. And she's like, well, everything. And I'm like, yeah, we don't vaccinate at all. And she said, well, what do you think about this measles outbreak? And so I told her, you know, my thoughts on it. And she's like, well, good luck with that.
Right.
Well, rather than arguing with me or like giving me some facts or anything, it was just, okay, well, good luck with that.
Just shut off. I was helping a friend out who was dealing with addiction herself, and then had a child that was just your typical little five-year-old boy, a little rambunctious, doesn't want to sit in sucky school where I got to sit still for 6 hours, just being a normal, cool kid. And the school, the teacher, first off, throws the diagnosis at the kid, a fucking teacher. Throws a diagnosis of ADHD at the kid going, no, you can't do that. You can't throw that out there and then tell the kid, then tell the parent. She winds up in the principal's office. The principal, they then send them to their recommended psychiatrist, and then forced that they're not going to allow her child back into school unless he takes the ADHD medication. It was a form of Vyvanse, not Adderall. And that's a force. When you force your child not to be able to come to school, they send you to their practitioner, and then we'll let your kid back. And she was losing her mind. And I'm going, yeah, you should be. Now, I went live. It was years ago. I went live on the podcast. I started out in the school and everything. Like, you can't do this. Kids went back to school without having to take the Vyvanse.
Yeah, it's ridiculous, the amount of just pressure from everywhere. And it all goes back to profits. Like the news, a lot of people don't realize the news is funded by pharmaceutical companies. And it's all, everything you see broadcasted across the news with this measles thing is all directly related back to pharmaceutical profits.
Laura, come on, we're just conspiracy theorists. Okay. all right, the government did 9/11. It's really a flat earth, right? We're going to get grouped in with all the crazies, right? Pizzagate, right? We're all going to be there before we know it. And we're just simply trying to be, you know, concerned, or you're trying to be a concerned parent asking, hey, at least question it, right?
Yeah. So I just like to spread awareness of it. I don't have judgment for anyone who still chooses to vaccinate. I just really feel like people need to be informed about this because no one is. Parents just go into this blindly and have no idea what the risks are.
Yeah. So let's walk into the all wonderful MMR vaccine.
Okay.
So the rest of the way through, we talked about some measles, mumps, rubella. Is it just that measles shot we're talking about, or the full MMR shot?
Well, the MMR shot is what is the CDC recommended vaccine. So you'll get that whole shot of measles, mumps, and rubella together.
Yep, the whole thing. So you walk through the first two shots within 3 hours, right? The vitamin K, right? The first initial shot as well. And so the hepatitis B.
Yep.
And then so what goes on after this?
So I will have to pull up the full schedule because it's a lot and I don't have it completely 100% memorized.
We're not on a time frame. We it's an open show. So, I mean, yeah. I like to add as much research as.
Yeah. So they get after at their 2 month appointment, they will get 8 doses of vaccines. And then at their 4 month appointment, they get 8 more doses of vaccines. It's pretty crazy and it just keeps going up.
And so what are some of the ingredients in these?
So right. We have formaldehyde, we have formaldehyde, thimerosal, which is mercury.
Wonderful.
We have aluminum, we have polysorbate 80, which opens the blood brain barrier. We have aborted fetal DNA. We have, there's aborted fetal DNA in vaccines.
So like a stem cell type of.
They actually came from 2 abortions that happened in the 1960s, and they used this DNA to grow the vaccines. We have absolutely no idea what injecting someone else's DNA into our body does to us.
Yeah, So we're using, hell no. I think I would slap a doctor if they told me we're going to put somebody else's DNA into your child at birth.
Yeah, and that brings up the question of if we're injecting male DNA into females and female DNA into males, what is that doing? And is that causing issues in today's society? That's just a question that I have.
Yeah, you're real funny. Like, I'm just putting that out there.
it's never been studied. So, I mean, it's just a question that people should question it at least.
Yeah, I sometimes at the end of your videos, I laugh because you're like, a lot of people die. Just putting it out there. Have a great day. I'm like, what the fuck? I'm like, how am I supposed to have a good day right now?
Yep.
Yeah, I was looking up the CDC and some of the things that are in the vaccines as well. They definitely mentioned what you were talking about. Aluminum. I mean, we know metal in the body isn't good.
Yeah. And it's linked to like Alzheimer's and all of that stuff.
Yeah, aluminum, fentanyls, glycine. I mean, it's straight CDC stuff. Antibiotics, egg protein. You're right there. Formaldehyde. Look at that. Monosodium glutamate, thermosol, a mercury-containing preservative added to vaccines that contain more than one dose to prevent contamination. I mean, so we won't feed our kids preservatives in the food. I feed my baby all organics, but I'll shoot the shit out of them with shots.
Exactly.
72 fucking times.
Yeah, I have tons of friends who I'm not going to throw them under the bus here and say any names or anything, but I have tons of friends who eat all organically and use toxin-free cleaners all throughout their homes, but then they still inject their child with neurotoxins.
That's so like a non-harmless vegan wearing leather shoes.
Yes. Yeah. Yep, exactly. So yeah, we just get this, the CDC schedule just goes on and more vaccines are added. And now they're working on an adult schedule because for those of you who don't know, like I said earlier, vaccines actually, vaccine immunity doesn't last. And so 90% of American adults are not up to date on their vaccines, and none of us have immunity.
I can see them in the marketing meeting. So our untapped market here in the vaccine department is adults. How do we get this gigantic untapped market of unvaccinated people and come up with vaccines for them? I know we'll give them vaccines that have a 4-year life, and then we'll scare them and tell them that the vaccine only has a 4-year life and you could get more. Look, we've already got them convinced on the flu shot. All right. We've won this one. So now all we got to do is say, hey, come back and get more shots because science is awesome. And your unvaccinated adults, a much larger market now that we need to bring into our market share of the medical field.
Yeah, and I don't think that a lot of people even realize that adults are unvaccinated. You know, they go around saying like, don't bring your unvaccinated kid around mine, but they don't even realize that they have no immunity for it either. And I don't know that the CDC is going to come out with and say, you know, our vaccines, like publicly, it's all on their website that they don't, and if you look at the inserts, that they don't last. But I don't know if the adult schedule will be all of the same vaccines. I'm thinking that it'll probably be new and different stuff just to add more.
Yeah, so I was looking over some of the other ones. So the HPV, any info on the HPV vaccine?
The HPV vaccine has been causing a lot of issues with teenagers. This has even actually been on the news because it's been causing so many issues. If you guys go to like thevaers.com, like I said, you can pull up every single vaccine and look at the exact statistics of how many people it has injured and killed. And you can break it down to different things too, like how many people have had cardiac arrest from it, how many people have gotten seizures from it, and all of that. It's actually a felony to lie on that website, and 90% of the reports come from doctors. So it's legit.
Yeah. I'm scared just reading the fact that they're required in 43 states, including DC. The hepatitis B vaccination, the one you talked about right at birth, mm-hmm. is required.
So yeah, there's kind of a misunderstanding with that. They say required. So actually there's only a few states in the US that don't have exemptions allowed. Right now, pretty much all states have exemptions. So they'll tell you, like when your kids go to school, they'll tell you that they're required to have these shots. And they don't mention exemptions, but really most states have exemptions that you can get. So here in Minnesota, we have all three exemptions. There's a medical exemption, a religious exemption, and then a personal choice exemption. And then California, for example, right now only has medical exemptions. So if you don't have a medical need to not be vaccinated, and even with a real medical need to not be vaccinated, a lot of doctors won't give you that medical exemption. Their kids in California right now don't have a choice. So the parents, if they want their kids to go to school, they have to vaccinate them. And they're actually working on getting rid of the medical exemption in California right now, too.
I don't know why I picture the cattle that we raise where they don't want your beef to be shot with antibiotics and mm-hmm. things that help them not get sick when they're just herded around a bunch of cattle. You know, but stick my kid with as much of it when they're cattled in with all the other ones. Right. I mean, yeah. this is also bringing up the other thought, right? I can see other parents being defensive because now your kid's going to get my kid sick.
Yeah. So
I thought your kid had the vaccine, so you could be
fine. That whole argument is just so silly to me. If your kid is vaccinated and you believe in vaccines, then your kid should be fine. It doesn't make sense. But really, we know that there are some vaccines that actually shed. So the MMR vaccine is a live virus vaccine. And there are several others that shed the live virus, which can cause the illness. So you're injecting your child with something that a live virus, and that can shed, but you're scared of my kid who's never come in contact with the measles.
Yeah. Your kid, you have more of a chance. Well, it sheds in families. When you say shed, we're mm-hmm. talking about it spreading. Right?
Yes. So, yep. Right. So they'll go and get the vaccine and it sheds as in like, through secretions, you know, it can be, changing their diaper, you could get it. Or if they're sneezing. I mean, the different vaccines have different ways of shedding, but well, these yeah, so you're spreading to your family and then you think, you know, the siblings are going to go to school and now, yeah, it just keeps going.
So through various ways, and we know the kids are messy. They don't wipe their nose. They just mm-hmm. put it on everything. I mean, the hand is the napkin and the t-shirt. So, I mean, really, are you saying that the kid who's vaccinated is more of a risk than the kid who's unvaccinated?
Yeah. I am.
All right. That's it for this show. Yeah, we're gonna get emails and letters and death threats.
Well, oh, shit. You all don't right. have to say you agree. I mean, I already get all that stuff. So,
are you kidding? Just go to half of my early podcasts and watch yeah. those. Are you? I actually got death threats from the so-called AA and NA mafia.
Oh gosh!
All right. So whoever they are, while I'm on it, I'm not anti-NA or AA, okay? Whatever works for you, all right? If that works, I'm a fan, right? So, all right, left field. So walk me through some more of this stuff. Well, what's some more of the shots we're talking about? Something that maybe you experienced too?
So kind of more information. If you go on to the CDC's website, also you can find in their surveillance reports, this was one thing that was really eye-opening to me. Pertussis, particularly, if you look at the rate of children who get pertussis, there's actually over 3 times more kids who get pertussis who are fully vaccinated than unvaccinated. So we're giving our kid this vaccine to protect them. Pertussis is whooping cough, for those of you that don't know, to protect them from whooping cough. And you're more likely to get whooping cough if you're vaccinated, according to the CDC's reports. And I've gone back several years, and this is every single year that this happens. There's more children that get pertussis who are fully vaccinated, and then only like a third of them are unvaccinated.
Oh my God. So in a perfect world, Laura, what do we get, right? All the kids are unvaccinated and that's what you want. And then polio is going to come right back and kill everybody. And we'll all have diseases everywhere. And thank God we have science. Cause it was funny. I was reaching in the recesses of my mind about how I've, you know, been, you know, hit with advertising over my life. And I can remember, you know, how much people use the polio part, right? That we've rid the world of polio because of this. And I've heard this 1,000 times.
Mm-hmm. So polio, interestingly, there has only been one case of polio in the last 40 years, and that was from a tourist. And polio actually has a 75% chance of no symptoms at all if you have polio. 23% of polio cases are just a fever, and less than 2% cases of polio actually lead to paralysis. So people don't realize that, but your chances of getting paralysis via vaccine, if you look at every single vaccine insert, there's some form of paralysis on those inserts. So you're so afraid of polio paralyzing your child when there's been one case of polio in the last 40 years, but you're not afraid of paralysis via vaccine injury, which happens constantly every single year.
Well, no, the doctor told me so.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing is, do any of these vaccines that the children get all the way up through it, do any of them combat malaria?
No.
Okay. Well, here's a little stat. Half of everyone that has ever existed on the planet died of malaria.
I didn't know that.
Half of everyone ever has died of malaria, but we're not giving them a malaria vaccine unless you go to Africa or the, you know, some sub-Sahara area over there. And then you need that shot, and you're probably going to get it anyway, even if you get the shot if you're over there longer than, I don't know, 2 hours.
Yeah.
You know, so, but no one's shooting the kid with malaria vaccine, even though, like I said, half of people ever died of malaria.
Yeah, there's tons of diseases that are going around that a lot of people die from, and we don't have a vaccine for it, so we're not afraid of it.
Where's that cancer vaccine coming from, right? Or how about a depression vaccine or something like that, right? I'm off.
No, the cancer thing is interesting. So actually, no vaccine has ever been tested for links to cancer, for the ability to cause cancer, which is concerning because if we think back to the DNA, the aborted fetal DNA that's in vaccines from the 60s, and we think about cell life and all of that, and just think of that, like over time, how much that same cell life has been used over and over and over again. And we've never tested to make sure that vaccines don't cause cancer. What if those cells are carrying that, you know, like, and with how old those cells are, we know that as you get older in age, you're more likely to get cancer. So it's just another question to throw out there.
Yeah, if we go on further down this road, well, no one's going to sleep tonight. Dr. Jack Cruz, a neurosurgeon, has been on my podcast frequently. He has warned about EMF for a very, very long time. And now with 5G going up all over the country, and he's talked about it immensely about, hey, I'm the one operating on their brains. Okay. So he went and moved his practice down to a place in Louisiana. He's trying to find the least active zones of EMF. And it's amazing the things that may cause cancer, right? Metal fillings over time, right? Certain foods that we have, exposure to our environment. There's a lot of scary things out there. That if it's just one of these things we talked about, if we understand the human psychology and the reason we have cognitive dissonance, and imagine what seven of those things do to a human brain, they just shut down. You just have to shut down. And that's when we're all conspiracy theorists and I can't think about it anymore. I have to go to a play date.
Yep. Yep. So to keep going with that, I just was like super upset about all of this and very, very enraged that I never looked into this more. And as I kept looking, I also, started digging into like PTSD and, our military and how many vaccines they get and the links to the amount of vaccines. I don't know if you've ever like dug down this PTSD path before.
Enlighten me.
So our military gets just a crazy amount of vaccines. I don't have the exact number off the top of my head, but when they go to boot camp, they get revaccinated for everything. And then they also get just multiple other vaccines for the military. And they also, when they deploy, they get more vaccines. It's just a whole bunch. I don't know. You have your phone there, so maybe you can pull up the schedule. But
It's rabies vaccine. These are the ones that they get that we don't get. Mm-hmm. Japanese encephalitis, cholera, rabies vaccine, typhoid vaccine, yellow fever vaccine, just to name a few.
Yeah. So they're getting all of these vaccines and
malaria. Well, they get the malaria one, Zika, yeah. Ebola. Those are some of the other ones. Yeah, there's the list. That's about 32 more. Good God.
Yeah. Yep. So I watched this super interesting documentary called The Vaccine Syndrome, and it was talking about all of the vaccines that our military gets and in such a short amount of time. I mean, if you think that the average person's enlistment is like 4 to 5 years and they're getting all of these vaccines. It's linked to increased PTSD symptoms. So if you're going to war and already dealing with some kind of PTSD, I mean, most of our military has at least a little bit of PTSD, whether it's manageable or not. And then all of these vaccines on top of it are heightening that and giving them more symptoms of that. And then we wonder why we have 22 veteran suicides a day.
Yeah, that's sad to think about. And to keep in mind, too, post-traumatic stress disorder, it can come at various levels, right? It's subjective to the individual experience. You know, for some, being in a car accident causes severe PTSD. You don't have to be in war or be shot at or blown up by a mine or something like that to experience it. So I'm kind of prefacing that idea that PTSD, it can come from the perception, the experience of the person that causes trauma, in subjective quotes, of what that is. And so, you know, it's a long outreaching blanketed diagnosis that we experience. And I also like to tell people to keep in mind, you know, mental health diagnoses are theories. They are theoretical. You know, I say, if you break your arm, I can give you an x-ray and show you, look, your arm's broken, right? There is no scan. There is no blood test. Even the serotonin dopamine levels that have been pushed out as being the cause for depression, there is no real research that proves this whatsoever. So these are theoretical ideas, a grouping of self-report symptoms that happen on a time continuum that we call something. Mm-hmm. Right? You're there. I can't prove you have depression, right? You're telling me these things, and then, well, it groups into this, right? So PTSD is that, ADHD is that. There's a few brain scans they're trying to show that may be able to show brain functioning to be able to, you know, point out ADHD possibly, right? But there is no definite diagnosis capability to be able to give that diagnosis 100%. It's theoretical. So any pill treatment that tells you this is scientifically made and guaranteed to work on a mental health disorder is fucking impossible, because I cannot define the diagnosis. We don't, it's not a lack of this or a lack of this, and this does this, serotonin uptake inhibitors. This is all theoretical shit, man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I got super into the PTSD thing related to military, because my husband was in the military and he had PTSD. And when they go to the VA for help with that, it's just more pills, more pills, more pills. And a lot of the pills have like depression and suicidal thoughts as the symptoms of taking the pill. And
I would tell you, four out of, now medically, by law, Medicare says I'm only allowed to treat 12 in my treatment group at once. We many times were at 22, but that's besides the point with that modality. I would tell you that at least one third of them were military. At least one third were military. The other one third were people that were not, quote, addicts, who had not suffered trauma. They went into a doctor for a hurt hip or a shoulder, and then opiates down the road. The other one third, I would tell you, certainly had experienced some sort of heavy trauma. You know, and that's not counting the trauma from the soldiers themselves that go into it. There's a great gentleman out there. I actually mentioned him in my book as a competence creator. His name is Dr. Mark L. Gordon. And Dr. Mark L. Gordon has done tremendous, amazing things with the study of hormones and the balancing and raising and lowering. I think there's over like 22 or 50 something hormones. I want to open my book to double check. But anyway, he works with specifically with military veterans that have dealt with all this, that come on with 16, 17, 18 plus medications. He begins a hormonal balancing routine with them, very public about some patients he's worked with, that it knocks them down to like three different pills over a certain period of time. Just a great individual.
That's awesome. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. I guess I don't know what else I would add to that other than that's,
well, yeah. There's any more to this and somebody's just going to freak out anyway. Yeah. So it's an open format here. There's no real time frame. We just do the podcast till we're out talking. But I know you deliver this information constantly. Researching it, staying up on it can be exhausting. It can be scary, make it hard to sleep. And just make sure you're taking care of yourself too, Laura. All right.
Thank you.
It's rough out there. So where can everybody find information, your show, all that kind of stuff, and be able to
So I'm mainly just on Facebook. You can follow me on Facebook, Laura Muhl, M-U-H-L. I post a bunch of videos and lots of vaccine information. So if you're interested in that type of thing, it's a good place to be.
Great place to start. I love when you do the videos with the numbers and the chart, and you're going, see, look, this number remind me of Ross Perot back when he was running. I don't think you may have been born yet, but Ross Perot's running against the president. He's doing the budget and he's showing everybody with numbers going, look here, this is how we change it. But when we see numbers like that, we need more people, at least not just being anti whatever because it's a trendy conspiracy thing to do. But you're showing the research, you're pointing out the websites, you're sharing the links, you're showing the numbers, you're doing the numbers, which is braver than something I would do. Doing the numbers right there. So it's, you know, I certainly encourage everyone to go back and watch Laura's videos on Facebook. We've covered a lot of that stats here, but go watch it, share it with friends, at least be informed about a decision and try not to make up your mind right away.
Yeah. Keep your mind open.
That's it. I appreciate you being on the show, Laura.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
Yeah, I had to. And I saw you going off there. I was kind of like, Okay, brave little one right here going off on some stuff. Be safe. I'm going to have her on the show to let it out. So thank you again for coming on. We'll post this podcast probably on Monday, maybe Tuesday, something like that. It'll hit iTunes and everywhere else.
Awesome. All right, have a good day.
You too. Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Wow, y'all. I hope you enjoyed the podcast and you didn't throw your phone or scream at me too much or yell obscenities at Laura. You know, it certainly takes a brave soul to question one's own beliefs and be able to look beyond the social constructs of how we are taught in our lives. When we use words like brainwashing or things like that, it turns us all into conspirators all the way over to the left. And just crazy people. But it's a simple way to talk about the actual psyche of the human being. Call it brainwashing. I would walk you through social constructs that are enforced through environments and habitual behavior of the culture. Okay. That's really what we're talking about. There's real research on that, y'all. So, look, a big shout out to Laura for coming on and doing the research, looking into that, everybody. I hope you enjoyed the podcast. And like always, I hope you're taking care of you. I hope you are living your cognitive rampage. Love you.